Hi, I'm Scott Davenport. I'm a photo educator and landscape photographer in San Diego, California. And when I'm not out shooting at the beaches, you can catch me listening to the smooth sounds of Sharky James on the Petapixel Photography Podcast.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 91. Shooting in public and knowing your rights. In this episode, shoot in public and get harassed. Doubts about that foolish photographer in the red zone. Canon patents a new crop sensor camera. Phase 1 has the blues. And a photographer damages some rather expensive sports cars during a photo shoot. All that and more in episode 91 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much for opening the show, Scott. I greatly appreciate it, brother. Scott Davenport, as you heard, is based in San Diego, California, where he has plenty of great landscapes to photograph, and he does. He teaches workshops, is the author of a number of ebooks and video training courses, and if you'd like to check him out online, there's no better place than his website over at scottdavenportphoto.com. He knows his stuff, and I think it's worth having a look at. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 91 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. We appreciate you hitting that subscribe button and making sure you get every episode, and of course, telling your friends on social media and elsewhere, and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. Again, war on photography, real, blah, blah, blah. You've heard me say it before. Last episode, in fact. So photographer Tim Berry of Practical Photography magazine in the UK took to the streets of London with his camera and tripod in an effort to see what exactly might happen if he photographed some buildings and such. And as you imagine, it didn't take long for security to notice that and send someone out there to have a conversation with him. I watched the 13-minute video, and you know, maybe it's because it's in a British accent, but it always sounds so darn polite. It sure doesn't sound like that here in America. And I'm not going to single out any particular cities, but in some of the best cities in my country, you're going to encounter some of the most direct people we have to offer. But that's okay. Give me a direct person any day of the week, I say. Cut the BS and just bottom line it for me. I respect that. Now, where things are going to go south, of course, is when you don't know the law and you infringe upon my rights. That's when things go a little bit pear-shaped. Anyhow, Berry photographed a handful of buildings, security was sent out, and while they were fairly polite to him, they expressed their desire to not have the property photographed. Why? No idea. They always cite security concerns, terrorism, etc. But this, of course, is utter nonsense. For one, Google Street View cars have been there several times and have photographed the buildings, so you can get on your computer, your phone, your tablet, whatever, and see photographs of each and every one of these buildings from multiple angles, and oh, let's not mention that they've been photographed from space as well. So there's that. And depending on the building and its popularity, its historical significance, etc., people photograph them hundreds, if not thousands of times a day. So that ship has long since sailed. Do they really think that a terrorist is stupid enough to come out, drop a tripod, and photograph a building? I would hope not, because of course that is not going to happen. Again, Google Street View or Google Images Search, Flickr, and on and on and on. So that argument just does not fly. Like many of those people they're worried about that are on that list. Now, the ridiculous part is that in the UK, as is true here in the United States, the sidewalks are public. You can stand there if you'd like and take photos, and you're not breaking the law. I can see how they wouldn't want you to drop a tripod because people can trip over them, etc. But otherwise, you're good to go. Security or someone else may call the cops on you, and they'll ask you some questions about your intentions, so you definitely got to be prepared for that, even if you're not breaking the law. I can't say this enough times, and you're going to hear me say it on the podcast many more times in the future. You got to put thought into these things because eventually you're going to be stopped and questioned. If you think ahead of time about how things might go down, you will definitely be better prepared when it does happen. Now, I'm no lawyer, of course, and this isn't legal advice, but here in the United States, if you're on a public sidewalk taking photos, that's not a crime. A police officer really shouldn't even have to have a conversation with you, and certainly doesn't need to see your ID, because not only are you not committing a crime, you're not even suspected of having committed one. If so, what would that crime be? You're on the sidewalk taking a photo of a building. That's not illegal. Personally, what I would do is politely, and that's the operative word here, politely explain that you're a photographer just taking photos. You've committed no crimes, and ask if you're being detained because you're busy and you got things to do. If you hit YouTube, you'll find tons of videos of Americans stating their rights and the police excuse themselves and head on their way. But you're also going to find many videos that go the opposite direction of that. Again, I'm not giving you legal advice. What you do is up to you. Photography is not a crime. That is, unless where it's prohibited, such as photographing of military installations, etc. But we're talking about being on a public street, on a public sidewalk, taking photographs of buildings here. You know, this is pretty funny. Just the other night, I went through the drive-thru at Burger King because clearly I'm on a health food kick of late. And there's a sign right there on the drive-thru window which reads, quote, "No video or still photography," end quote. So what did I do? I took a photo, of course. Did I break their policy? Yes. Did I break the law? Heck no. I don't know what Burger King is afraid that you're going to do in the drive-thru window. Perhaps maybe YouTube pranks or something. But all they can really do is ask you to leave. It's not illegal to take photographs at the drive-thru window or even inside Burger King. I mean, think about all the people that bring their kids there and take photos with their smartphone, with an actual camera, etc. Do they ask those people to leave? I don't think so. I'm sure that millions of times a day alone at a Burger King, people are taking photos. You know, these signs at BK aren't new. I found talk about them online going back to 2008. And many of you who've gone through the drive-thru who haven't noticed it are going to be like, how have I not seen that before? It's been 8 years and I haven't noticed. But you get the point here. On private property, you have to play by their rules. Businesses, while they're open to the public, are not public places. Sidewalks, though, that's a public place. Maybe not in every country, but certainly in the UK and in the United States for sure. That doesn't mean you won't be questioned, and it usually helps to know your rights, of course. I would advise everybody be familiar with that. But be polite, because if you're a jerk, it's just not going to end very well. The video of Tim Berry's encounters while out photographing harmlessly in the UK is 13 minutes long, as I said. But if you're interested in these things, I think it's definitely worth having a watch. I mean, come on, it's just 13 minutes. Sometimes the security at these buildings will say it's because of copyright reasons, but that too is a non-starter. You know, if you were selling photos that had the building in it, you would have to get a property release, of course, and I think not a lot of people know that. About 20 years ago, a friend of mine shot a model in front of a fountain at a very well-known resort in Phoenix, Arizona, and as a result, they sued him and it cost him over $10,000. That is just nuts. But these kind of things happen when you don't get a property release. Your average person isn't going to sue you because they don't know about that. But corporations, they do. Photographing buildings from a public street or anywhere isn't illegal. If that were true, then Google would be guilty. Now, as they mentioned in the video, if you're asked to delete photos, you're not required to do so. But if you're photographing someone and they ask you to, that's your call. Just be prepared for someone to be really angry with you if you decide to refuse. And if you do delete the photo, and a lot of people have done this with cops too, they'll just go ahead and delete the photo. They won't take any more photos on that card and they put it aside. And when they get home, they use recovery software and there's that photo again. So just saying, that's not illegal. It's a little tricky, but it's not illegal. And certainly no one can seize your equipment unless you're under arrest. So that means only the police, and especially not, and I repeat that, not a security guard. And they also can't detain you as well. I think it's really important to know your rights, and especially, as they say in the video, to represent other photographers well. Because if you're a jerk, then the next time they encounter a photographer, they're going to be treating them maybe not as well. And maybe do your best British accent. Hey, if you're in the United States, that'll certainly catch them off guard. You might just make them laugh. And you know what? That's not a bad thing at all. Next. As I told you in episode 90, an incredibly foolish photographer says he entered the off-limits nuclear exclusion zone near Fukushima, but now his claims are being called into question. A Polish photographer, whose name I know I'll get wrong, so I'm not even going to try to attempt it, published a blog post calling Kiao Wilong's claims into question, and he has some knowledge about this stuff, because since 2011, he himself has been to the Fukushima exclusion zones. In that post, he says, quote, "His story is almost completely fabricated. His entire text is dishonest, his trips to the no-go zones untrue, and the photographs were taken in areas that everyone can access." End quote. You know what? I call that photographer a fool, because he is. But this guy is outright calling him a liar. No one likes a liar, right? I mean, I haven't met someone yet who enjoys a good liar. What the Polish photographer alleges is that Long did a photo shoot in the green zone, which anyone can access, rather than the more dangerous red zone. You know, photos that are shot in the green zone are not exactly a story that CNN and many others, ourselves included, as well as the Petapixel mothership, might cover, because they're really not that big of a deal. Why? Because instead of a foolish photo shoot, it's just a, photo shoot. Well, the mothership reached out to Long, and he said that the Polish photographer, quote, "colored the red zone into white on his map and has been spreading it ever since. It is not white, as I told countless press. I walked from Tamioka to Nami across four towns," end quote. To prove his point, he posted his map along those from Greenpeace and others. He has GPS points marked on there, and he's claiming that his map proves that he was there. I'll let you guys be the judge here. I mean, the maps are not exactly super easy to read. They're not apples and apples. They're more like apples and oranges. So it takes a little bit of figuring out to see exactly where things are. He claims the Polish photographer texted him the day before his article was posted, asking him where the locations were, and he told him. Yet, the article calling him a liar still came out. Luong told the mothership, quote, "I have a duty to defend myself. Even though I went in without a permit, that does not mean that someone with a valid permit is right," end quote. You know, I can't believe that the argument here is basically the degree to which this photographer was a fool. That's just amazing. Next. Canon hasn't had a whole lot of wow moments in recent years. Same with Nikon, actually. So we're all hoping to see some movement in that area this September 2016 at that big Photokina show in Germany. For starters, they're rumored more serious mirrorless system. That would be nice. But we'll see if that materializes and if anyone even cares at that point. Like that mirrorless system, one thing we may or may not see is a high-end point-and-shoot camera featuring an APS-C size sensor, thanks to a patent that Canon recently filed. Originally discovered by Igami, the patent shows a fixed 15 to 75mm f2 to 5.6 lens, and that would certainly be a step up from Canon's current top point-and-shoot, the G1X Mark II, which has a smaller 1.5-inch CMOS sensor, and a lens which has a 35mm equivalent of a 24 to 120mm f2 to f3.9. Now, when you do the sensor size math on the camera in this new patent, the lens works out to be roughly the same as that current model, but with that larger APS-C size sensor. These cameras, of course, are more pocketable, much like my Sony RX100 Mark IV and a number of other models that are out there. So you're not going to be shooting everything with it, but it might be the camera that you take with you when bringing the DSLR or a larger mirrorless model is just too much of a pain to bring with you. When I go on a walk, it's my RX that I'm bringing with me in addition to my iPhone. Everything else just isn't practical and it stays home. You know, not every patented item gets released, but if this Canon camera comes out, we'll be sure to let you know about it here on the podcast, of course. Next. If you've got a bit of money and you want and need great quality, one of the brands you consider these days is Phase One. You know, you never hear about Phase One owners complaining for a reason, and that's because their gear is awesome. You're familiar with the red rings on the better Canon lenses and the gold rings on the better Nikon lenses, and now we've got blue rings on Phase One lenses. The company has announced something that they've never done before, and that's a partnership with Schneider Kreuznach for a pair of new, very cool lenses. And they are the 40 to 85mm LS f4 to 5.6 and the 75 to 150mm LS f4 to 5.6. These new Blue Ring zooms were designed specifically for the full-frame 6.45 format 100 megapixel Phase 1 XF system, and what a system it is. Regarding these new lenses, Phase 1 says, quote, "Used on a Phase 1 XF 100MP system, the lenses are able to take full advantage of the sensor's resolution. A 100MP capture renders a 100MP image with breathtaking fidelity," end quote. Between these two lenses alone, a very nice focal range is covered, and on this particular format, that's especially nice. The company says these lenses have prime lens quality, that's their words, feature zoom lock on the barrel, built-in electronics that, quote, "permit individual focus calibration," end quote, when used with the XF system, and can sync flash at shutter speeds up to 1/1600th of a second. Now, why are these lenses a big deal, you may ask? Well, Phase 1 Senior Product Manager Espen Beck says, quote, "Creating optics this large with such tight tolerances is quite an achievement. A Phase 1 full-frame 100MP medium format sensor is 1.5 times larger than the crop size 50MP medium format and 2.5 times larger than sensors found in high-end 35mm DSLRs. Capturing the full resolution of a square sensor this size with a round lens and avoiding crop means the entire lens must be larger, which requires larger movements of individual lens elements while meeting the requisite standards for speed and precision," end quote. Now, that is a lot of mathematical craziness right there, but thankfully, the folks over at Phase 1 have this all figured out. And that's why these things are so darn expensive. Not just the quality of the cameras and the sensors, but these lenses are incredible. These are not your kit lenses. You know, these are finely engineered lenses with a whole lot of work and R&D put into them, and they're worth every darn dollar that you pay for them. If you're in the market for amazing glass for your Phase 1 XF system, you can pick up the 75 to 150mm right now for $5,990 US. And the 40 to 80 sometime before August 1st, 2016 for $8,990. Yeah, this gear is for the working pro and for those with deep pockets who enjoy quality products. In other words, doctors and dentists and other rich people. Next. Many of you out there photograph automobiles and other expensive things. And if you value your financial future, you have liability and casualty insurance, right? Right? I hope so. Why? Because accidents happen. That's why they're called accidents. Now, there's carelessness, of course, or as it's called by its fancy legal name, negligence. Yeah, you see where this is going here, don't you? So if what you're shooting is a fancy schmancy $400,000 sports car, extra care needs to be taken. Listen, I'm an experienced, confident driver, but I'm not moving a car like that without all the T's crossed, all the I's dotted, and a whole lot of concentration. To me, that's not a car. That's a house. A very, very nice house. You don't want to be the guy or gal that's backing that thing up through the dealership window and onto the sidewalk. Yeah, that happened. And it's not a pretty sight either. If you enjoy looking at pretty things that you and I will never own, it is painful to see, I tell you. This happened in the UK, so maybe the bright orange Lamborghini Aventador was making its Brexit. Too soon? Sorry, I had to. You know, I have to go for the easy dad joke. If I didn't, I wouldn't respect myself, so I had to go for it. Let's pretend that did not happen, okay? Okay. According to the Lancashire Evening Post, the photographer got behind the wheel of the Lambo and bad things happened. You know, going backwards through the window was not part of the plan, of course. Now, as if that wasn't bad enough, the Lamborghini also damaged two other sports cars in the showroom, both of those being Ferraris, according to witnesses. That was a very expensive photo shoot right there. You know, very few of us are ever going to be in this situation, of course, but the moral of the story here is be careful, know your limitations, and that's right, make sure you have insurance. Because when things go bad, and they will at some point, you don't want to be paying for it. Literally, for many, many years to come. I personally know people who've experienced this, and it's life-changing in all the wrong ways. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 91 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, and I hope you do, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 92. Well, it's f8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.
A photographer damages some rather expensive sports equipment. What's that, like a tennis racket or something? Come on. An incredibly foolish photographer says he entered the off-limits nuclear exclusion zone. Nuclear. At least I don't say nuclear. I'm on a motorcycle. Go away. Using my Jedi mind tricks on you. Go away. Nope, you're still there. Go. This is what a recording is really like. See what I have to deal with?